You have trade agreements, unilateral, multilateral, tariffs, international politics, how they play a part in our trade and our economy, and then Montana services as a commodity. You always wonder how all these things affect Montana businesses that are looking to, and necessarily so, more and more global markets for profitability. The Big Sky is fortunate to have the Montana World Trade Center as a resource. We talked with Executive Director Brigitte Miranda Freer, about a wide variety of trade and economic issues that affect the Big Sky. I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Subscribe and you'll get a heads up on what's coming next. Subscribe at wherever you get your podcasts. And the website is voicesofmontana.com. Also, feel free to email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com for show suggestions or comments. Appreciate hearing from you. Here is Brigitte Miranda Freer from the Montana World Trade Center today on Voices. Good morning, Brigitte. How are you?
Hey, Tom. I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on the show today.
Are you feeling Friday?
I, too, was feeling Friday on Monday. So, yes, I am. I'm feeling double Friday today.
Good. Yeah. Good to hear that. Well, thank you for being here.
It's a good way to end the week. Yeah.
Thank you. Let's start off with the Montana World Trade Center. Does it go under the radar a little bit? I know you guys work hard in a lot of ways, but what is it you do?
Yeah, so our work falls into three primary buckets, and that's kind of providing technical assistance to our exporters and importers around the state to help them kind of enhance their international trading. And then trade education, which you might expect. We're actually housed at the University of Montana over in Missoula, but we do serve the entire state. So we do a lot of training for businesses, and particularly the small and medium-sized businesses across the state, to make sure that they are ready and they are working efficiently when they decide to engage in their international endeavors. So that's everything from, you know, understanding the basics of international commercial terminology to helping them make sure they get paid on transactions and understanding some of the more thorny regulations that exist out there, for example, like European General Data Protection Regulation. And then that kind of last bucket of work, our statewide initiatives that we undertake that we think move the needle in a positive direction for Montana's international trade portfolio. And one example there, we are the lead on foreign direct investment business attraction for the state. So it's a little bit about what we do, but you're right. We've been here for a long time. I've got the gray hairs to prove it. We would have celebrated our 25th anniversary of the Big Bash a couple of years ago, but the darn pandemic got in the way of that. So we'll do something like a happy 27 or something when we get out of this crisis.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. We want to celebrate with you there too.
Oh, thanks.
So are Montana businesses then more ready than before? Because I know if you go back a decade or so, when some of these businesses are starting to think about where my markets are, their vision perhaps was not globally. But I think today that vision has to be globally. So maybe there's a market difference between a business that started 10 years ago and a business that starts today. But are they business ready?
So I think there are varying degrees of ready there, but overall, yeah, absolutely. Far more small and medium-sized businesses are exporting today than they were when, and I'm going to date myself here, like when I started in international business, this was pre-internet. So it's a whole new world in terms of, you know, the ability of small businesses to market their products and services to a global marketplace versus what it was before. And you know what, Tom? I mean, we've got different kinds of services that are being exported now. So, you know, that think about, for example, our software as a service products that exist. And we've got a number of different organically grown Montana firms that are these SaaS firms. You know, they're ready to sell to a global market almost right out of the gate. Not as much of an intensive capital investment up front as you might see with some manufacturing firms. So, yes, more ready, more exposure that they can get pretty easily to the world.
So ready in a lot of ways. The world, though, is very competitive, this world, this global market.
Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, America, we have a lot of, and for a lot of the right reasons, but perhaps for some of the wrong reasons, we heavily regulate our industries. And that's not the case for a lot of countries around the world. Again, there's a lot of things that go into that. We all talk about a level playing field, but I think people like to do business with companies in Montana or in the U.S. because of the stability in our government, so to speak, and in our markets and in our dollar. Is there, let's just ask, the level playing field, how does that look right now?
So that's an interesting question. I guess in my mind, that speaks to the larger concept of why we actually work as a nation to get free trade agreements in place with other nations. I am very much pro-free trade. I mean, the World Trade Center's association organization kind of motto is prosperity for all through trade. So, I mean, trade agreements, they're frameworks that encompass mutually agreeable parameters of trade between nations. And you know, you mentioned things like regulation and labor practices and things like that. Trade agreements deal with things like that. So I think they're important in kind of setting the rules of the road and providing stability for and kind of transparency into the future to the greatest extent possible for all those players that may want to engage in international. So I don't know. That may not be where you wanted to go with that question, but that's what I think of.
You know, I get that too. Would you be in favor of, and we got a list of things I want to get to here too, but we're just kind of, sure. You know, we float around a little bit. Would you then, do you like the unilateral trade agreements or the multilateral trade agreements, or does it depend on the players?
Oh, that's a good question. I think I would go with B or C, or B and C. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, we have a number of unilateral trade agreements. The multilateral trade agreements are, you know, certainly much harder to negotiate. But, you know, if you do get them dialed in, they provide a much larger level of access to a number of different nations. You're never going to end up with something that pleases everyone. It's just not possible to do that. But to the best of our ability, I think we're all well served when we're working to create you know, more transparency and just kind of allow people to see how they can do business moving forward within a set framework rather than monkeying with kind of our trade relationships all the time.
Gotcha. Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center, that is housed at the University of Montana in Missoula, Montana, Brigitta Miranda Freer is with us here. The team that she works with is dedicated to strengthening Montana businesses through international trade. So the trade agreements, I think, and this is just sort of my impression, you know, the U.S. has had, we've had prosperity, and there's a lot of reasons for that as a capitalist society and a society of opportunity and development. But yet in some of our trade agreements, it seems like some of our partners expect us to give a little more because we have a little more. Certainly, the renegotiation of NAFTA to the USMCA might have played a part of that. Our trade war with China kind of plays a part of that. Do you like the renegotiation of NAFTA?
I do, actually, and I'll tell you that, you know, the original NAFTA agreement didn't cover a lot of different kinds of trade and international goods and services that exist today. I mean, like, you just heard me talk about software as a service, for example. Mm-hmm. That wasn't around,
right.
You know, prior to this, or, you know, our concerns that we have about data protection and data privacy didn't exist. I guess bringing it home for Montana, part of the renegotiated USMCA, I have been told, and so I read, one positive impact is that I think historically, or at least under the last NAFTA agreement, Canadian authorities were kind of downgrading Montana wheat as feed grade. And so obviously that's not ideal for Montana and our hardworking farmers and their ability to build markets in that country. And so I think that is just one example of something that was recognized as a non-tariff trade barrier that the Canadians had in place for a long time that was remedied under the new USMCA, which went into effect in July 2020. Kind of a lot of people weren't paying attention. We were busy with pandemic, still are.
Oh, my gosh. And I want to talk about that and focus on that, too, because as we've been going through this pandemic. I've always felt, Brigitte, that, you know, we're going to try certainly some things, but we're still going to have to walk through it day by day, and as best we can. But issues about our supply chain came up real early in this pandemic. Part of it was medicines that, you know, 80% of sort of our over-the-counter stuff comes from China. And that caused some concerns, especially in that military side of things. But there are other concerns as well. So we'll come on back and talk more about that as now we look at these boats off the shores of the U.S. that can't get unloaded. You know, how big a problem is that? And maybe some of the solutions to resolving that. I know that we're tasseling with that. And we'll come back with more on that with Brigitte Miranda Freer from the Montana World Trade Center on Voices.
Napa Know-How.
At Napa, we've teamed up with AAA to save you 20% online or in-store. That's why they call us the Savings Dream Team. Okay, we're the only ones calling us that. But it's true. Your AAA membership can save you 20% at Napa. So we're basically superheroes with the most specific power ever, saving you 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
20% off regular retail prices with valid AAA membership card. Offer good online and participating stores. Offer ends 10/31/21.
I want to talk a little bit here, too, as we're with Brigitte Miranda Freer from the Montana World Trade Center. I think the BBER is doing a survey about international trade and investment. That's to come out soon. That could very well be part of what's coming up here, the Montana Chamber of Commerce annual meeting and trade show. That's going to be held in Billings, a statewide event there. And Brigitte is going to be one of the guest speakers on Monday, 3 o'clock, understanding and expanding Montana's international trade and investment portfolio. And with a lot of experience in this area, with us here today on Voices of Montana, I'm Tom Schultz. And again, Brigitte, thanks for being here. Let's I know we want to talk supply chain, but let's kick off a little bit here about this international trade and investment survey. In you got maybe just a glimpse of what might be in that survey?
Yeah, and Trade Center works with the Bureau of Business and Economic Research, as you mentioned there, to craft the survey and to push it out. And this will be the first year that we can kind of compare it to data from last year. So, you know, it's real preliminary, Tom, and I'm glad you brought it up because I would love to encourage any and all of your listeners that may be engaged at all in exporting, importing, or maybe a firm that has some type of foreign direct investment to complete our survey. But, and you can certainly find that on our website, little plug, Tom, MWTC.org. But, you know, what we're seeing with the preliminary feedback from those who have participated to date is that, let's see, a couple things here. We have a pretty optimistic bunch because the vast majority of our respondent firms so far anticipate that they're going to increase their revenues in 2022. They're also kind of aware of what's going on with the job market, and they're estimating that they'll increase wages as well. That'll be required. But on the good news front, also thinking some major capital expenditures in 2022. One really interest. I'll read you this quote without attributing it to anybody, of course, but, you know, I was thinking when I read these pretty optimistic numbers, well, we're incredibly optimistic or we're hardy. And speaking to that point, one person said, you know, all other global competitors have gone out of business or reduced output. So it's like definitely something to be said for being the last man standing. That's true. And also, one last piece I'll give you from that, again, from our respondents to date, since we talked a little bit about trade agreements, 60% of our respondents reported negative impacts of U.S. tariffs that were put in place, 3% positive impacts, and the rest no impacts at all. So anyway, yeah, I certainly invite you to learn more at our upcoming session on Monday at the Montana Chamber of Commerce event in Billings.
Yeah, and also MWTC.org. It's actually a really good URL address. It's easy to remember. Well, you talked about tariffs, but I don't want to forget to talk about the supply chain right now because it's on everybody's mind, and we're seeing the boats, and we're looking at all the reasons that complicate this. I don't know it's any single one. There's probably a couple of things we can point to. Your thoughts on how we got here, maybe, and how we resolve?
Yeah. And if I can solve this morning, won't I be a popular?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, You're right. There are a lot of contributing factors. I mean, certainly the pandemic is the main cause. Certainly, we've seen some supply chain disruption as a result of tariffs put in place, retaliatory tariffs other countries have put in place. It's interesting. You know, we don't think about the supply chain until it's not working properly, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
I had a good teachable moment with my kids regarding supply chain when we were at the Walmart. I don't know. It was last year at the start of the pandemic. And my daughter was saying, "Mom, where is the good toilet paper?" Ah, well, that's interesting. So let's talk a little bit about how pandemic's impacting. But I'll, you know, jokes about TP aside, I mean, we are still in a mess. And most of the businesses that we work with are absolutely feeling the impact, continuing to feel the impact of supply chain disruption. So, I mean, maybe just kind of bringing this home a little bit. You know, think about, for example, all of our distillers around the state. This is one example. There are many. But think about our distillers all around the state, right?
I do frequently, yes.
Yes, right. So do I, Tom.
Yeah.
You know, even they are, they're in a pickle right now, as are any kind of small-scale manufacturer in Montana, as the jars and jams people. You know why? Because they... Most of them are receiving their glassware, their bottles or their jars from overseas suppliers. And they may not be purchasing directly. They might be purchasing through a wholesaler, but there's a real problem there. So we're seeing shortages. We're seeing prices very high. And, of course, as you referenced earlier, we're seeing this insane backup at the port. We just have to work our way out of this, you know, one step at a time. I do like what I heard, you know, this week, for example, you know, the Biden administration announced that the Port of Los Angeles would be open 24/7, you know, to accommodate, to try to mitigate a little bit that big backup of container ships that we see at the port there. But, we've got a long way to go. And Tom, if you peel back the layers of the onion on things like the port backup too, you know, you'll figure out that another thing that's happening as well is that we've got, you know, this is all tied to our severe workforce shortage that we have, like with commercial drivers, right? Mm-hmm. So we don't even have enough truckers to pull all that merchandise out of port. So it's kind of crazy right now, but I'm hoping that in the next year, we'll see things, leveling off a little bit, you know, that the containers will be where they're supposed to be around the globe so that we're not waiting on one end and causing a traffic delay on the other. And maybe we will get to a place where people aren't feeling like they'll have to keep buying higher than normal amounts or placing orders for higher than normal amounts
right.
of whatever it is, because you know, that just causes kind of a bullwhip effect on the supply chain. Too,
well, so. And also examining, you know, where the problems are completely self-inflicted, too. I got to take a break.
Sometimes
and,
they are.
Yeah, yeah. And come back with more. We're going to continue our conversation about trade and the economy. Brigitte Miranda Freer with the Montana World Trade Center after these headlines from Brian Bennett.
With the most specific power ever, saving you 20%. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
20% off regular retail prices with valid AAA membership card. Offer good online and participating stores. Offer ends 10/31/21.
It's more important than ever to get your seasonal flu shot this year because COVID-19 and the flu will be circulating at the same time. Protect yourself, your loved ones, your community, including Montana's essential workers, against the flu and get your flu shot. Everyone 6 months and older should get their flu shot every year. And remember to wear a mask, watch your distance, and wash your hands. Come on, Montana, let's fight flu together.
It's 866-627-5483, or you want to text us at 781-627-5483. Find us online, voicesofmontana.com. Got a great podcast page to subscribe. I shouldn't say all the shows, but we keep a lot of our programming there archived for on-demand opportunities there, too. So spread that word around. Brigitte Miranda Freer here. I'm Tom Schultz. She's with the Montana World Trade Center. Here's one for you, Brigitte. And I know I didn't tease it, but I want to get to talking about it before we forget how Montana has recently opened up the trade office again in Taiwan. I think that's a very good development, don't you?
Absolutely. And Tom, for those of us who've been around a long time in Montana, we might recognize that the person that we actually have staffing that office now, Ms. Mei Mei Wong, is just a dedicated professional. We're so lucky to have her back. Everyone was sad when that contract didn't happen before. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to working with her again. And in fact, I just had a Zoom call with her and other member of her staff yesterday, I think. Yeah.
Will that increase our exports to Taiwan, or will it increase our imports? This is maybe too profound a question to go for 2 minutes here. But when we look at trade deficit, we've got to maybe do more of this sort of thing.
So, well, yeah, that's a couple different things to unpack there. Will it increase our exports? Yeah, I think it will. It makes a difference to actually have somebody working for us on the ground that's representing our state, what we have to offer, and, you know, individual businesses there. So, I can't underscore how important it is to have these kinds of boots on the ground kind of relationships. You know, just to frame this, Tom, the city of Las Vegas, and I don't know if this is still the current number, but I know about 2 years ago, so Las Vegas, obviously, they're big on, you know, bringing people into Vegas. So their export is kind of that service, right? They had 11 overseas offices. Just the city of Las Vegas had 11 overseas offices talking about what Vegas had to offer. So I'm thrilled that, you know, again, we have this on-the-ground presence in Taiwan. And as you know, just kind of redoubling our efforts in what we're doing in Japan as well. I do think that's going to bear fruits for our exporters. And I do also think it may open up some pathways for some additional foreign direct investment into our state, into some targeted sectors here.
Let's see. I got another breakup coming here. We got to kind of get on, painting a picture of some of the companies that the MWTC, the Montana World Trade Center, has helped in Montana. So we'll do that after a short break. It's From Montana for Montana.
Voices of Montana continues right after this.
It's more important than ever to get your seasonal flu shot this year, because COVID-19 and the flu will be circulating at the same time. Protect yourself, your loved ones, your community, including Montana's essential workers, against the flu, and get your flu shot. Everyone 6 months and older should get their flu shot every year. And remember to wear a mask, watch your distance, and wash your hands. Come on, Montana, let's fight flu together.
You're listening to a podcast from the live Voices of Montana radio show. Be sure to check out the full podcast page at voicesofmontana.com for a full listing of all our programs. We've been covering Montana issues for more than 20 years. Thanks for listening today. Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center with us here. Brigitte, thank you for being with us. I do appreciate that, and thanks for the work you do. I want to talk about some Montana stories. Got to talk a little bit, too. We kind of left this one about tariffs and who really pays them. I mean, that's a nice, good black and white question. Who does pay them?
I'm so glad you asked that, Tom. And, the short answer is that tariffs are taxes, and they're taxes that are levied on importers. So who pays them is U.S. importers of that good. And you know what they do, because they're running a business and then not running a charity? They have to pass it along down the chain. So ultimately, you know, who ends up bearing the burden of that are U.S. consumers by and large. And I think that's something that has been pretty highly politicized lately. But yeah, that's the skinny. That's the straight story. And the thing that I know that things were presented, well, you know, we'll impose tariffs on China-made product, and the Chinese will pay for them. Not really, right? I mean, there's something wonky you can do with the terms of sale so that, you know, the Chinese supplier is selling the product like on a delivered duty paid basis, which means they're responsible for everything, including clearing it through customs and delivering it to the ultimate consumer in the United States. But guess what? Did they price that hike in that tax into their product to begin with? Yes, they did. You know, so I don't love tariffs, if you can't already tell here. And I think that anything that inhibits that the free and fair flow of goods and into and out of the United States, I don't love.
And the fact is that they're done often to put pressure for various political, which may have an economic basis behind it, and maybe there's justification to it too, but for political means or an end, I should say. And then you look at how politics, you know, as we look at opening this office in Taiwan, Taiwan has China has been acting real aggressively toward Taiwan. And so there's always a political component when you talk about international trade. How much does that weigh into a business's decision on where or when? Perhaps they have this most perfect market in the world, but the government there is unstable. Do they go forward with trying to take advantage of that market?
So it's a good question, and my response is that, you know, nothing is black and white in when it comes to international trade. And if you're a business person, you know that, you know, what you do every day is you take steps to kind of mitigate your risk and increase your probability of success. And so it's no different when you're looking at international markets and, you know, how you prioritize where in the world you want to go with your product and service. So, you know, would I take something like that into account? Yeah, I absolutely would take something like that into account. And is it enough to keep you from entering that market? Well, it depends. And, you know, circling back to kind of that risk mitigation point, you know, for example, if you, and this is going to get a little wonky, Tom, so buckle up.
Our audience is good for that, yeah.
So if you are a U.S. exporter and you're selling to foreign countries, there's for example, Ex-Im Bank, the Export-Import Bank of the U.S., which is kind of a misnomer, but Ex-Im Bank has insurance that you can purchase on your international accounts receivable so that if something does happen, like, you know, a government overseas nationalizes the industry and your whole transaction was screwed up, basically, you still can get paid on your transaction. Now, is that ideal? Absolutely not. But again, if, you know, all other factors point to yes, and, you know, you're willing to stick your toe in the water, you want to do so with as much cover as you can possibly have. Or, you know, timing is important. So maybe you rethink, you know, dipping your toe into a market like that and in favor of some others that have a lower level of risk.
Does that happen a lot? Does it blow some businesses completely out of the water?
Yes, it does. You know, hey, I'm going to circle, since it's Friday, Tom, we'll circle back to the distillery example.
I like you.
And how, you know, kind of monkeying with tariffs and you know, political pressures and how that impacts business. I was talking last year with a distiller that was kind of getting hit on both ends, right? Not only was she dealing with the issue of higher price inputs on those glass containers, she was talking with me about the fact that she, you know, had spent, I think it was a couple years developing a market in China, kind of a niche market in China for her product. And that they were about to kind of consummate their first sale with her importer distributor over there. And that came to a screeching halt when under the last administration, those kind of punitive tariffs were put into place targeting China. And then China then, of course, puts in, you know, countermeasures and retaliatory tariffs. So it just, it then the price of her product in reaching that market just became far too much. And the importer at that point walked away. So, yeah.
Brigitte Miranda Freer, Executive Director of the Montana World Trade Center. It's MWTC.org. We talked a bit about her being at the Montana Chamber Annual Meeting and Trade Show. That is happening in Billings this year, and she'll be giving a talk on Monday. Just pretty much this entire conversation, though a little more focused on a survey that they'll post soon on their website about understanding Montana's international trade and investment portfolio. Looking forward to that. Tell us a story, Brigitte, about a Montana company that called the World Trade Center and says, hey, I got a widget, and I know that they need it in Argentina. How do I get it there?
So I'll tell you a couple different stories kind of based on the types of work that we do here. And also just like I was scrolling through my email, things this week. One good example of a good partnership we have is with a wildland firefighting firm in Montana. So you might not think about firms like that as, you know, potentially, you know, exporting their service, but they can and they do. And you can imagine why they might want to do that because wildland firefighting is a seasonal business. Well, a little less so these days as we continue to have fires longer and longer, both ends. But this firm recognized the importance not only of diversifying its potential markets outside of the United States for increased sales, but also because, you know, it's not great to be entirely reliant, like, for example, on one or heavily reliant on one customer in the U.S., like in this case, the U.S. Forest Service in filling out contracts. So this firm happy to learn this week obtained an on-call contract for wildland firefighting in Australia. I can't remember which province. And we work with them to help them actually kind of put a bid together and just understand that marketplace a little bit better. So that's like one example, and I brought it up just because I like the idea of service exports for our state. And also, Tom, something that I'll reference in my talk next week. You know, when we talk about trade stats and the exports and the imports and trade deficit, well, when we do a baseline search on U.S. Census data, it's all hard goods. It's not, you know, the service exports get entirely lost. And service exports are becoming more and more important for Montana. So that's one example. Another example this week that I thought was pretty fun was, because we are based in a university, of course, I am working all the time to kind of educate the workforce of tomorrow and give them some practical skills and how to expand business overseas, whether it's their own business or they're working for somebody else someday. So I had my students this week were working with a medical device manufacturer. Well, actually, it's a medical equipment. How would I describe it? Yeah, it's a medical device firm. And so they learned about the firm, and we wanted to apply some of the things that we're learning about in terms of developing an export market ranking matrix for this firm. So again, deciding where in the world to go with that product or service, and then drill down a little bit further to do to develop some action plans for entry for this particular firm, like into the Mexican marketplace. I was really excited, and the owner the representative from the firm that we were talking with was really happy as well, because we actually just put together this action plan that he could use in addition to a list of potential distributors. And we tied in there information about how to get, for example, some funding that the state of Montana has available to help support our exporters, which a lot of people don't know. It's a great program. So not only do we say, hey, here's some roadmap for how to get there, here's some money to help you pay for it, which I love. So that's an export example.
Brigitte, I'm out of time, but we'll have more time some other time, okay? And I look forward to chatting with you on Monday. I'm going to try to catch that presentation again.
Sounds good.
Yeah, around 3 o'clock at the Montana Chamber of Commerce meeting here in Billings, along with the trade show. So black and white and every shade and every other color, economy and trade. Thank you so much for the conversation, Brigitte. Have a good weekend, okay?
Thanks, Thanks. You too, Tom. Appreciate it.
Talk to you soon. We're back with more in a bit.